Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome! The Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by WFAN and me, Keith McPherson, Bright Lights, Big City. We got a bunch of big shots and a bunch of tough guys. Tonight's Big Shot of the Night goes to Long Island native Eddie Shantz. Who is that? What team does he play for? He doesn't play for any teams, but he is a fan of your New York Mets. And he was the one that went viral today out at the Vatican. Yes. He's from Syosset. That's like eighth time I've messed up Syosset. The Syosset native who lives in Comac took a last minute trip to Rome and became a viral sensation. So I saw this on Twitter. I saw the Mets tweet out a Mets hat was seen where? And of course, because I troll on Twitter, I'm like, bro, the Yankee hat has been seen in every continent, every country. Anyway, y'all got it though. Good for you. Yeah, it's a fun little story, a fun little thing to see this guy pop up with his Mets hat. And he went viral, and Tim Healy wrote that he went to Italy on such short notice that some of his people didn't know he was there until he showed up on TV. So he is the man today. He's the talk of the town today, especially among Met fans. 888-808-1019. Obviously, there's no Nick game on, so we couldn't give that to... I think last night I gave it to Tom Thibodeau. I'm like, we got to build up the coach. I mean, this guy was talked about as being fired a week ago, and now he's got these guys up two games. Halfway to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, speaking of, you know, two games have been played in the Western semis, and Ant-Man, he's all smiles. He came back. So Minnesota defeats the Golden State Warriors. Obviously, they don't have Steph Curry. They blow them out 117-93. Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo, the T-Wolves get a win to even up that series. Back to the phones we go. I had to run to the bathroom, so I did not count up the days and the starts. I'm sure somebody listening out there already has it. But it's TBD right now, and I'm sure we could, you know, we're not that far away. It's only a week from tomorrow out. I'm sure we could quickly figure out. Maybe Connor could help me out. Figure out who is going to be pitching in the Subway Series if, you know, no one gets scratched and all goes as planned. I think the only thing that's going to trip us up, TBD Sunday, I'm expecting the Yankees to throw Ryan Yarbrough out at T-Mobile Park in Seattle. And then Saturday is Rodon. Will Warren is Friday. Monday, Tuesday. Well, I don't have the time to do it. Maybe I'll do it next break, but somebody probably at home is a little, you know, doing a little work on it. So let's get back to the phones and we'll figure out who we think will be pitching for the Subway Series, Mets versus Yankees, a week from tomorrow in the Bronx. Moose is in Jamaica on the fan again. What's up, Moose?
You're Chief. What to do?
You're, you know, hanging out.
I hear that. I'm here to talk Knicks and Yankees. As you know, I did place a $100 bet on the Knicks to win in six. It's kind of looking shaky, but not in the reasons most people would anticipate, considering I was bold enough to actually put money on the Knicks. But like I said, I was looking at the tail of the tape, Styles make fights, four guys for 3.5 in terms of people that can get their own basket on a regular basis, make tough shots, and full complement of stars, injuries from Boston. I just figured that if the Knicks can actually play some defense and they can use the chuck-up threes that the Boston Celtics do, if they don't make them, they'll probably win the series. Because, you know, it's a make-or-miss league. But then the Yankee game, considering what I said coming off the loss on Monday, where I spoke to you about Tuesday because I went to the game Tuesday, you know, Devin Williams being a panhandle. But like I said, the reason why we got him is exactly what we saw in the 10th inning Wednesday. Like, he struck out the side. Yeah, the bases loaded, Manfred man, but push come to shove, he threw his best pitch. It was not going to be touched. That's why we got him. So we have to give him credit. You said you owe him an apology. I guess I owe him an apology too. I'm sorry for doubting him. But once again, I think there's something else at play with Devin Williams, maybe distracting him. But overall, Keith, I'm happy for the Knicks. I'm a Nets fan just like you. So when Durant, as you remember, his size 44 shoe pretty much prevented us from getting to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I was there.
So, but I'm like you, Keith. I'm happy for the Knicks fans who were struggling for two decades with an organization that passed up on Steph Curry and drafted so many players that aren't even playing in Europe right now, because for some reason it took Leon Rose, somebody who was a former superstar agent, sort of aficionado of the league, to rectify the start and getting Jalen Brunson just because the Mavs didn't want to pay him starter money. Gave him starter money, and now he's arguably, well, not arguably, he is the best clutch player in the league, and you're seeing that. So the Knicks are well on their way, and even if the Knicks win in five or sweep them, I'm happy for New York, somebody who's native to this town, to see a winning organization and possibly make it to the finals.
Thanks for the call, Moose. 888-808-1019. I understand it's hard for people to do that with rivalries. I understand it's hard for people to do that because they feel like, hey, I'm a fan of the rival team in the city I'm supposed to hate. And to each his own. You can. I can only speak for myself, really. I can ask Net fans to stand down because I just think we're completely like punching up and hating against so many people, and it's like it just doesn't even kind of work. But yeah, for the most part, it's just like I'm letting people enjoy things, and my fandom does not matter, especially like I've said, I'm hosting a show. Yeah, the Brooklyn Nets games are aired on this network, and like I'm a Nets fan, but the Nets are eliminated. Like, it doesn't have to be about the Nets. It is about the Knicks across the entire NBA. And it's about Knicks fans that have been waiting for this, that knew, hey, one day we're going to get a squad. One day we're going to get a team. One day we're going to be perennial contenders. I feel like that's what the Met fan is in right now. You have a squad. You are going to be perennial contenders. You have superstars. You have the right owner, the right president of baseball operations, the right manager, and you're going to see consistent success. You're going to see consistent winning. Connor did a little work on, I guess, the, you know, estimate, guesstimate, the projected starters for the Subway Series. Connor, go ahead and lay that on us, at least what you counted up and what you think.
So the probables for next weekend, Friday, will be Carlos Rodon against Tyler McGill. Saturday, Clark Schmidt against Griffin Canning. And then Sunday, Max Fried against David Peterson. So a little bit of a pitching edge for the Yankees, you would think.
Oh, I like this kind of party. Yeah. Damn, I wasn't going to go Sunday, and I already told myself I got to go to every free day, so I guess I got to go to all three games now. I was planning on going Friday and Saturday. Now I got to weasel my way into all three games. I don't know how I'm going to pull that off. Maybe I just go Friday and Sunday. I don't know how I'm pulling it off. Now I'm thinking about it, because this is it. It doesn't get any bigger and better in New York for baseball fans, for people that cover the game, that watch the game, go to the games, and then that. Rodon, Schmidt, Fried versus McGill, Canning, and Peterson. Rodon versus McGill. I'm giving the advantage to the Yankees just off that. And then Schmidt versus Canning. I'm not even going to sleep on Griffin Canning. Like,
and Fried on Sunday, maybe lefty-lefty, they sit Soto, you know, tough matchup.
They're not going to sit Soto. But, I mean, the Yankees are the ones that have had trouble with the Mets left-handed. That was the whole thing last year. Carlos Mendoza knew his left-handed pitchers were going to give us problems. Remember, they moved Severino. This is going to be great. Fried versus Peterson on Sunday. Is this Sunday night baseball? I would assume it is, because you know how geeked up they are for this, you know, Subway Series. Yeah, it's 7 p.m. on ESPN, and then it's 1:05 on SNY and YES on Saturday, and then it's 7:05 on Picks and YES on Friday. Maybe I skip Saturday's game and just go to the two night games. I don't know, man. First of all, I don't have any tickets, but I bet I have some. I bet I have at least one. And we got to boom the roll call. We got to hold down our sections. We got to heckle Juan Soto. And creatively, you know, the F Juan Soto is like F Trey Young, F the Celtics, FMB. Like, that's corny. I haven't been in there and caught the F Juan Soto chant. I saw the shirts. I haven't joined in on any F Juan Soto chants or none of that. I won't. I might boo his ass, but I just think that's fun. Like, he comes back, runs out, and he's not running out from the right side. He's not running out from the home dugout. He's coming out all the way across from the visitor dugout. He's going to hear them boos the whole way. Boo, you're a bum. Boo, you chose the Mets. Boo, Juan Soto. It's going to be fun, man. It's going to be fun. Let me know if you guys are going. Maybe you got a ticket for me. Bruce is in Flushing on the Fan again. Hello, Bruce.
Hey, Keith. A couple of Yankee points and a Knick point. But before I get to that, it's supposed to pour all day on Friday. So I double-checked the weather forecast for you for Friday.
Yeah, so that means the Yankees will delay the game 30 minutes and they'll play through the rain.
Well, I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. Now, for the Yankees points. You know, if you're going to call up this radio station, especially this show, you need to know what you're talking about. The reason why Brian Cashman, and you can criticize Brian Cashman for various things, but not for trading Ramirez. Number one, he is a bad defensive catcher. And if you're so worried about catches, well, to inform that man and the rest of the Yankee fans, the Yankees have two catchers in AAA who are hitting over 300. Alex Johnson and a kid named Rodriguez. Plus the fact they have a kid at AA who is probably better than both of them. And his name is Rafael Flores. And he's a good defensive catcher and he's got power. So the Yankees have plenty of catchers. Third of all, that person seemed to forget that Jazz helped the Yankees go to the World Series last year. So whatever Ramirez is going to be, it was worth the trade. That's number one.
Agreed. We've gotten a pretty good return from what Jazz Chisholm is and what he's brought into the team for Augustin Ramirez.
Also, to let you know, Pereira is starting to hit at AAA. He's hitting .295, 7 home runs, and 18 RBIs. So just to keep people information in mind. Also, did you see the item in the article in the paper the other day when Schmidt was pitching and he had a conference on the mound? Every single person was either a Yankee draftee or a guy he brought into the minor league system. Yeah, Cabrera, Volpe,
Cool when you think about it. Yeah,
Rice and Warren. So also all those people who said the Yankee farm system is bad, it's gotten better over the last couple of years. So yeah. I don't think you can make that statement.
We've got a good future, man. We've got a lot of young guys that are playing homegrown talent, and that's going to enable us to, once some of this money comes off the books, go ahead and land some of the big fish and guys in the next coming years. And obviously – extend this window of Judge being a little older, Cole being a little older, Stanton being a little older. I mean, before we know it, Stanton's money's going to be off the books. So I'm not worried. And I'm not mad at Cashman right now. I'm really not. I know in my heart of hearts that he is not going to just let this rotation be whatever it is. And, like, he's not wasting this year. This is another year to get back to the World Series and try and win it.
Now, as far as the Knicks, you know, it's nice to see when a general manager has a plan and it works. He brought in specific guys, OG, the guy, backcourt guy, who we gave 5 draft picks. And people said, oh, my God, we gave 5 draft picks. But he fit the team. He fit the coaching, the coach's plans. The one thing I've seen over the last couple of years is that Leon Rose brings in players that fits the coaching style and the coaching system. And you have to give credit to Leon Rose for that.
Yeah, we need to start giving more credit, because here in New York, thanks for the call, Bruce. I was saying it last night. I'm like, it's like we build you up to break you down, or maybe we're breaking you down to build you up, or I don't really know what the psychosis is. We eat our own. We're super critical. I was listening to BT and Sal talk about it. Like, you know, as fans, because people want to say to BT, like, no, you didn't believe in this team. You can't celebrate this now. Like, what? You, like, first off, and that's another thing, too, about, like, us being a radio host. It's our job to have an opinion and have a take. And, yeah, you can be a fan of a team, but that doesn't mean you let that blind your thoughts and your critiques and your opinion. Like, you can't be scared. And you can admit you're wrong. Like, I said I was out on Devin Williams being a high-leverage reliever or closer or pitching late in the game. Now I'm like, I apologize. You can't be out. But I was just, you know, being a fan. Same thing with, you know, BT and Sal, and they were talking about, you know, some of their takes on the Mets, on the Knicks. And it's just like, you know, it's okay. This is New York. It is hyper-focused on sports because we do want to win. We do got to give credit where credit is due. What I was saying last night when I gave Tom Thibodeau the big shot of the night, I'm like, man, let the respect be louder than the disrespect. If you want to call this guy out for all of these things and call for his job, and now he has been, you know, the driver of the car that has driven you to a 2-0 lead on the Boston Celtics and given you two of the greatest nights of your Knicks fandom, like, so give it up. Give props to the guy. We'll continue to do that when we come back. I'm running out of time. It's wide open for your calls on the Knicks, on the Yankees, on the Mets. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Back right after this. Okay, here we go. 888-808-1019. Let me get through these calls, man. I got like 30 minutes left, not even. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I told you on the beginning of the show this was going to be an instant classic. I told you this is going to be fun tonight. I had too much fun. Hopefully you had as much fun as I had. You know, before the break, I said, make sure that the respect is louder than the disrespect for the Knicks head coach. And you just got to give it up for a guy that, you know, people are very critical of. They talk about the minutes police and, you know, how many minutes he plays his players. And now these guys are in better condition, better shape than their opponents. And they've gotten tougher and they're up 2-0 in the series. So props to Tibbs. And he's definitely coming back next year. And if he pulls this one off, like, he's goated. Give him the extension to be here as long as he wants. Jeff is in Westchester. Next on the Fan, go for it, Jeff.
Yes, good evening. Good evening. Got a Knicks question, but before I do, I want to just say you bring it every night with your consistency and how you handle the callers and your personality and how you weave it all in together. And I speak for many when I say that We want to hear you continue to talk about that ancillary stuff mixed in, you know, with the sports, the stuff that makes you so relatable, including your family, including, you know, your podcast, previous, you know, job experience that got you to this point.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you quick before I get to the next question.
Thank you. But
I know
yes.
you're big. Sure, I know you're a big rap fan. Are you familiar at all with if I name one or two or three R&B soul groups, could you let me know if you're at all familiar with them?
Perhaps. Go for it.
All right. One is Shalamar. One is DeBarge. And the final one is SOS Band.
DeBarge, yes.
Got you.
Not Shalamar. And
Shalamar had a song called Night to Remember. Get ready tonight. We're going to make it a time
make
to remember.
This a night to remember.
You got
I know that one, yeah.
I know you know it. Yeah. Love it. I love it. And here's my next question. Can't argue with you. It would seem that Thibodeau's job is pretty sealed now, but somehow, call me crazy, but somehow if the Knicks cannot seal the deal in this series, will there be any kind of backlash, do you think, enough to create a stir in possibly with the thought that maybe this coach, as solid as he is, he just cannot get a really good team over the hump? Or has he crossed over to that where his job is now secure with two wins against the world champions? I'm going to hang up. I love you. And take good care. We'll speak to you soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the love. And, you know, even the sidebar stuff. And it's funny. I think I keep it to sports more than anybody here. Like, honestly, I listen to the shows. And I'm like, I think I kind of drill the, like, sports takes and keep it there. I really don't. Like, I've kind of, like, you know, once in a while, I'll weave in certain things that I feel like just build to, I don't know, whatever, yo. I really don't care. We're straight on this. But yeah, with Tibbs, let's talk through it. If they blow it, if it's Celtics in six, if they lose the next four games, no, I think he's safe. I don't imagine they'll lose four in a row, and I don't imagine it'll be on him. You know, when he didn't use the timeout in Detroit, Was it that he didn't use the timeout in Detroit? Or no, I think it was he didn't get Brunson and Hart back into the game. I think that's when the noise got the loudest. And he just said, coach's decision. And it was a coach's decision. And it didn't cost him much. It cost him a game. But, like, they were able to advance. I just think this guy has shown you and done enough. And here's the biggest thing before we get back to the phones. These are his guys. Brunson is his guy. You think Brunson wants him out the door? You think Karl Anthony Towns wants him out of the door? Him and Josh Hart have, you know, gotten us some back and forth, but this is their coach. This is their guy. And even Mikal Bridges, who questioned some of his methods, Mikal Bridges has played a whole season under him now. And I know the grass for Mikal Bridges is much greener on this side of New York than it was on the other side. Like, I just think he's safe, man, and I don't think they're losing four in a row. And even if they do, I don't think it'll be on him. But this is New York. This is the fan. Somebody's going to call and be like, hey, he should go. And I think also the noise got louder because Taylor Jenkins from the Grizzlies got fired and then Mike Malone got fired. And it started to be like, oh, well, if these coaches are available and if they're getting chopped, like, you know, this guy can go too. But no, I think Tom Thibodeau is safe. Ralph is in Brooklyn next on the fan. What's up, Ralph?
Ralph, you're wasting my gas. Get out of the
car. Hey, what's doing? I just wanted to ask you what you thought about the Knicks game three. You know, the Knicks have been playing awesome, and I think that the Celtics have kind of been in a little bit of a slum lately. But, you know, they're back in the Garden these days, game three coming up, so it's going to be a surprise. I want to know what you think about it.
Yeah, quickly here on game three, I think it is a must-win for both teams. Obviously, the Celtics can't go down 3-0, and as the whole thought that I opened with, the Knicks have to win this series now. You know what helps you ensure that you're going to win the series? Getting that first win here and going up three. Because then, like, honestly, you could lose the next two and be straight. And, I mean, the Knicks got to get a win at home. It's been too long. Do you understand what Saturday night in New York will turn into if the Knicks go up 3-0 and win that game? I'm not, just say less. Just, you are, like, come on. I already said it's going to be a festival. It's going to be crazy. They're going to shut traffic down over there. If the Knicks can go up 3-0 on the almighty defending champions and win that first game in the Garden, the place is going to explode. It's going to be crazy. People are going to be partying all through the night into the next day. And how I honestly think it's going to go, I think the Celtics are going to come out pissed off, locked in, dialed in, and the Knicks are going to have to try to withstand some of that. But, like, they're going to have to try and, like, weather that. But we've already seen them overcome 20-point deficits. If the Celtics aren't 100% locked and dialed in and they let it stay close, it's going to play into the Knicks' hand, as it seems every game plays into the Knicks' hand in the fourth quarter, except for the one where, you know, Brunson and Hart were not in the game. Reggie in White Plains, hello, you're next on the fit.
defense. What's going on?
You know, bringing it home.
Absolutely. Hey, you think Francesa ever cared about the haters? You know, now look at him. He's winning $5 million on a Kentucky.
And I don't care either. That's why I talk to him on the phone. I talk to him online. I don't really talk to many of them in real life. It comes with the territory. Yeah, yeah. If you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping. I get it. Like, I understand why they mad at me. I don't know them, though.
No doubt. I feel you. Listen, two things I'd love your opinion on. George Steinbrenner's life. Think about it. Some people want things, cars, yachts, whatever. Some want land, property. Some want women, whatever. George wanted that feeling of getting the chip. It consumed him. And, you know, Hal grew up a winner. But I think last year, after they won the pennant in Cleveland, I saw what I needed to from Hal. He wants it too. I mean, that's just how I feel about it. He's all in too. So that was good to see. Also, one more thing. Every winter, I buy a few fun games, like one every month. Bring a friend. My boy just canceled on me next Saturday versus the Mets. Now, my wife is showing interest. I got a 6-year-old daughter that's kind of getting into it. You know, she loves Judge. Or do I just hit the Sawmill, Henry Hudson, the Deegan, the Harlem River lot, and get crazy with a different friend? What do you think?
I don't know if you want to bring the wife or the child into this environment. I know it's a day game, but I don't know if this is one of them family-friendly day games against the Kansas City Royals or something. Like, you might want to bring one of your homies. You might want to bring one of your boys, have a couple beers, get some laughs in, watch the game, see some shenanigans, and make sure you get home safe.
I know bringing my 6-year-old daughter into that would be crazy, but I mean, I think she would finally get it, and it would like be a crazy experience for her, but I think you're right. I think I got to maybe wait a couple years for that. And maybe bring her to
I was
going to
say what section you're in, but it doesn't matter, and I don't know. My son is banned. My son, he went to the first Saturday game. It was that warm game, and the Yankees scored 20 runs, and he was eating food off the ground. He was touching everybody. He was running around, and I'm like, dude, I'm missing the homers. I'm missing. I'm like, you're banned. You can't come back to the stadium. I don't know what it's like to have a 6-year-old yet, but I would imagine that, like, she's, you know, she's right at the age where she is getting it, but, like, you also may want to shield her from some of the people that don't get it, like adults that don't get it. They don't know how to behave.
I feel you. Yeah. Spot on. Good stuff, Keith. Take care, man.
Thanks for the call, Reggie. Yeah, I like what you said about Hal, too. You know, Hal Steinbrenner offered Juan Soto $760 million. The end. Like, they went and got Soto, and he actually put $760 million in an offer for a player that he knows and you know and I know is not better than Aaron Judge, that would have been blocking Aaron Judge from playing his true position, that, like, honestly, we wouldn't have Max Fried, and this team would look a lot different if we did that, and, you know, the whole universe would be different. It worked out for both sides. I'm happy for him that he's a Met and that the Mets landed their guy, but, like, when we talk about Hal Steinbrenner and George Steinbrenner, they have owned the Yankees at complete different times. They are different guys. But I don't question whether Hal wants to win or not. I think they all want to win in the Yankees organization. I think they all want to win. I think that the way that they lost that last year hurts. And it's separate from the money. They are going to win. They're winning the money game. They're going to win with ticket sales, with merchandise. The Yankee brand is built. Doesn't need a refresh. They're always going to be competitive. They want to win. And, like, being competitive, always being in it, gives you an opportunity. I pray this is the year. I've said on the fan, I don't think the Yankees are winning the World Series. I don't think the Mets are winning the World Series. I don't think the Dodgers are winning it either. I think we're going to get some random team that just, it might be the Cubs. It might be, who knows, it might be the Diamondbacks. Like, I think some random team is just going to get hot. But, like, what I really want is the Yankees to get in the dance, whether they're the first place team or a wild card team, and Judge to put the team on his back. Like, I want this to be the Judge redemption year. And there are enough characters and guys around him. Like, it ain't just going to be him. Like I mentioned last night. Like, last night's game, they did not need Judge to save the day. That wasn't Judge heroics. That wasn't Judge hitting a homer to break it open. That wasn't Judge. Like, you know, Judge's on-base streak ended, and he misplayed a ball in right field. Which, that ball was smoked. That was a tough little play. But ultimately, it was a team win. And it was the game of the year because we were getting no hit, and we went from a no-hitter to, like, no, we're not losing this game. A belly bomb. And shout out to Aaron Boone, too, and the moves that he made. Everything, man. From the bullpen to putting Grisham in there to having Cabrera bunt after Cabrera laid down a correct bunt after he had popped one up the other day. And, you know, J.C. Escarra with the sack fly. Dominguez walk. Like that was a win that said a lot about this team. And they had lost some games, unfortunately, that they had late, and they had lost some series. But them taking that series from a good Padres team, I think that was a huge morale boost. And it wasn't just because of the best player in the game. Mike out on Staten Island, you're on the Fan next. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, hi, Keith. What's up? First of all, I've been a big Schmoozer fan. I didn't know who I could fill in this role. Thank you so much for keeping it going here on the Fan.
Thank you. And I don't know if you know, but the Schmooze has his Me Here, You There podcast now.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah, so that's why he was in here the other day, and I got to chat with him. Shout out to Rosie.
Oh, man, I can't believe I missed it. Oh, man.
I didn't chat with him on air. He was in here recording his podcast. It's available now if you just check wherever you get podcasts. Search Steve Summers, definitely. Me Here, You There, Odyssey. But he was here, and when I heard he was here, I told Rosie, like, hey, I was live on air, but I was like, make sure I get to see him and talk to him, and I got to connect with him for a few minutes, and it was great. Awesome. I'm blessed that I got the opportunity to follow him, let's say, to follow up after.
Awesome. Yes. Yeah, so anyways, I had the opportunity last night to go to the Yankees game. I took my kids. It was our first Yankees game, so that was a blessing. And I did not know how it was going to play out. It was so much drama in that little small game over there. But obviously the biggest cheering that went on was when the Knicks won the game. Everyone I remember the batter just looking around like, what the heck just happened? Everyone was just like cheering. And what's ironic is that I was sitting next to the guy who was watching the game on his phone. I'm like, you mind if I just check? And he's like, yeah, sure. And then I'm just talking to him, and he turns out he's a Celtics fan. I'm like, dude, you're lucky I didn't drink yet, because if I would have started drinking, I would have passed you.
There was a Celtics fan in my section. I saw a couple of these goofies walking around with Celtics. Like,
He's a New Yorker. I said, why are you a Celtics fan? He was like, oh, I went to college.
Was he wearing Celtics gear? The guy was wearing Celtics gear.
Under his hoodie, he had the Celtics jersey.
Why would you do that? I don't understand why these guys would show up to Yankee Stadium. Just hide. They don't want to hide. They want to be seen, and then they got harassed.
I was also with my family, so I couldn't, I had to behave. So, but it was really awesome. The best part also of the Yankees game, I felt, was knowing, getting reassurance from Devin Williams in that tight spot, which I had no confidence in, obviously. And it just, obviously, it turned out that it looks like he's got his stuff back, and hopefully this is going to jumpstart him further to be able to, listen, I don't know, get the closer role. That's going to take much more time to actually solidify, but at least to be that solid setup man for Luke, I mean, that's a big, big help, because we were losing games.
He doesn't have to go back to the closer spot, but he's got to be high leverage. I know I had said, I was like, I don't want to see him in with a lead again. He wasn't in with a lead, but he was crucial to setting us up to walk that off. I mean, he struck out Fernando Tatis on three pitches.
And he put his energy when he got that strikeout. He was pumped.
Yeah,
oh my God.
Because
he
that too kind of made me give the guy a break. Like, this guy is human. This guy wants to be good. He's a competitor. It's a huge shift in his life. And he knows he's been dominant, and he hasn't been. But he said in that last outing, like, he felt like, he was getting it back. But he had some walks, and that's what he's got. He's got to limit the walks. Just fill up the zone, man, and don't be worried about anything giving up homers or whatever.
Yeah, and credit to Boone for trusting him. That's the bottom line.
Boone is going to do that, because Boone is a baseball guy, and we've seen this forever. I think I was going back and forth online with Big Mac. I'm like, man, we've seen this from Zach Britton to Andrew Heaney to Clay Holmes they're gonna keep trying to put these guys. If they let Clay Holmes blow 13 saves last year, you can bet your ass they're going to keep throwing Devin Williams out there in the eighth inning or in the seventh inning or in a high leverage spot last night in the 10th.
Yeah. Bottom line, it was a great night, both Knicks side and Yankees side. So hopefully let's keep it in the city. I felt like the whole city coming together in that stadium. It was just so much energy. It was great.
You did. It was a movie. Thanks for the call, Mike. I had a tweet that did numbers. My boy Gabe, who was with me, I didn't even realize Gabe's video went viral. A lot of outlets posted it, and I'm in it. So, when he pans and he shows Yankee Stadium and he shows the phone, it's my phone, and you hear me. I go, Bridges again. When Bridges made the play, I'm like, Bridges again. And he told me NBC reached out, and it's just one of those magical moments in sports in a city like New York where, we didn't know that was going to happen, man. We didn't know. None of us went there. We went there to go see Max Fried and the Yankees hopefully take the rubber match. But, you know, everybody that I talked to was Knicks, Knicks, Knicks. There were let's go Knicks chants before the game started. But then I'm telling you, once the game started, there was somebody in every section looking down at their phone. You could do both. I did both. I watched the whole game. And I said last night it kind of helped us. Dylan Cease kind of helped us out. He was pitching a no-no for, you know, almost seven innings. So he let us watch pretty much the whole Knick game because we were just looking up and dun, 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 dun. It was like, yo, we couldn't get anything going. But what was going was New York was going. And, like, man, it's just special to see, again, strangers all focused on the same thing. Like, sports unites us. It doesn't matter where you're from, what nationality you are, what race, what religion, what background, any of that. None of that matters. All that mattered was we're in Yankee Stadium tonight. We're physically in New York tonight. The Knicks are playing the Celtics, and they have a chance to win. Like, I'm giving people updates. I'm like, ah, they're down 20. I'm like, this might be it. I'm putting notes together. I'm like, this was the turning point. And then I'm like, no, here's another turning point. Now they're down 12. Now they're coming back. Like, it's just, it's a night you won't remember. It's like a scene out of a movie. And that's great that you took your kids to the first game. And like, that was what was going on. And yeah, it was special. I just saw the Shea podcast on Instagram, you know, because, you know, these Mets fans always try to make fun of me or whatnot. But I like it. I enjoyed it. It gives me good engagement, and Elon Musk sends me like $50 a month because of it. But yeah, the Shea Less podcast goes, Keith McPherson saying the Knicks basically inspired the Yankees to win last night is comical. I go, Keith didn't say that at all. You boys hear what you want. What I said was, like, some type of cosmic energy traveled down from Massachusetts to Yankee Stadium, and then the Yankees obviously know what's going on. They know that the Knicks are playing. They know that the stadium is not erupting because they went down 3-1. They know that the fans are chanting. And then the Yankees put up the final score bug, 91-90, and everybody cheered and chanted, let's go Knicks. And then the Yankees literally took that energy into extra innings and walked it off, their first walk-off of the season. You don't think those two things are connected? Maybe they weren't. But either way, I was glad to be a part of it. I was glad to see, you know, both wins. The Knicks need, let's see, Lewis is in Brooklyn. Hi. On the fan. What's up, Lewis?
Well, this brings back the old rivalry. I remember, you know, growing up listening to Marv Albert on the radio, me and my brother, with Dave the Busher, Earl the Pearl Monroe, Willis Reed, Walt Clyde Frazier, Bill Bradley against Larry Bird, John Havlicek. I hope I got the names right. You know, those were the real, wow, that was amazing. But coming to this rivalry, the Knicks, like you say, this third game is so critical because if they win, they're going to put panic in the Celtics facing elimination. If the Celtics get this third game, they're back in it. And the Knicks are not great in the Garden. They're better on the road. So this third game is critical. Do you agree?
It's huge. It could be the deciding thing. Like, if this series swings in favor of the Celtics, it's because they take this game. If this series is going to end with the Knicks advancing, it's because they go up 3-0 and they're like, all we got to do is get one more out of these. They're not going to come back from 3-0. Like, it's huge. It's huge. And I think the NBA wants this thing to go seven. But I'm not going to get on the mic and say that the Celtics are going to, like, oh, it's inevitable that the Celtics are going to make their shots. Although, eventually, the Celtics are going to come alive. I thought that in the first game. And then I thought that again in the second game. I can only go off of what we've seen in the first two games. The Knicks have the upper hand. They don't flinch.
But they can't go down by 20 points and always expect a comeback.
I don't think they do. I don't.
Three-point shooters.
You know what it is, Lewis? It's not so much that they go down and expect to come back. They go down and they don't panic. Mikal Bridges said that they were talking on the bench like, whatever, yeah, we've been here before. Like, we know what we got to do. We got to get stops, which they do, wing stop. They play defense, and we got to hit shots. And then little by little, they start to come back, and the arena starts to feel it, and the Celtics start to feel it, and those Knicks fans in the arena start to feel it, and then the next thing you know, it happens, and it's like, here we are. They're here again.
I heard a caller say that, oh, the Knicks are going to win in five. I don't think so. I think it's going to go down to maybe six or seven.
But it's on the table. The Celtics can't win in five anymore. That was the most popular prediction. The most popular prediction was Celtics in five, that the Knicks would get one.
No, but someone was saying that the Knicks will win in five. I don't think so.
There was a group of about 40 Knicks fans in TD Garden last night chanting Knicks in four. You know, so like we'll see Saturday. So. Lewis, how you feeling about George Pickens?
You tell me.
Okay, I will. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. George Pickens is a knucklehead, but he's also a freak athlete. And I know when I watched him at Georgia and when he came out, I always love his draft day video, how he was looking at the screen. I'm like, oh, this dude is on demon time. He's going to come into the league. He's going to tear it up. But he ain't had a quarterback. He had Kenny Pickett. He was drafted with Kenny Pickett. He had Mason Rudolph. He had Justin Fields, barely. And he had a little bit of rapport with Justin Fields. Then he got going with Russell Wilson. Then he was hurt last year. And people want to lean into, like, you know, his antics and fighting with DBs or whatever. This is a guy that can beat one-on-one coverage. He's fast. He's got hands. He's got freakish athletic ability. He's also going into his, you know, like free agent year. This is a prove-it year for him. Dak Prescott's going to get him the ball. And CeeDee Lamb's going to be open underneath. I think you're crazy if you don't think it could work. The Dallas Cowboys always have edgy players. They always have knuckleheads. They always have a couple guys. They need more of them, honestly. This is the exact type of player that they add to that locker room. He don't want to talk to the media. All he wants is the ball. And now the Cowboys have Jaden Blue in that backfield. I don't know if they're going to go after Nick Chubb, but they signed Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders and Jaden Blue, the rookie out of Texas. I think that's enough to start. And CeeDee Lamb can't do it all on his own. Now it's CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. They can make a hell of a duo. Dak Prescott has never had a better duo. Dak Prescott was throwing to Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. Dak Prescott was throwing to Brandon Cooks and CeeDee Lamb. They say Dak Prescott's in the best shape of his life. He's on his second kid already. He's, you know, he kind of said it with his chest about, like, go look at my record against the Eagles. It's going to be a fun football season. We'll get there. But right now it's basketball, baseball. Let's get back to the basketball and the talk around the New York Knicks. Mike in Flatbush, you got it. You're on.
Keith, what's up, my man?
You know, last few minutes, bringing it home, finishing strong.
Yo, respect. I have twins. That's why I got back into sports, listening to sports radio, because I have 2.5-year-old twin girls. And I was just thinking today how I can't. I'm like looking around. Everybody's on the ball fields. I live in Flatbush by the parade ground, so there's tons of like baseball being played now. It's summer, or it feels that way. And I'm just thinking as I'm pushing the stroller, like, I can't wait to be able to trust them moving around in the world with me, where I'm not like, I don't have them in the stroller, or, you know, just kind of like when they get
God
to that age,
you,
when I can bring them to a ball game, that'll be next level. It's just like you're unlocking things throughout childhood, but respect. And I love when you tell, you know, any story. And by the way, going back to the way that you narrated just now, the Yankees being at the Yankee game and then, you know, plugging into the Knicks, that's dope. That's a good way to tell a story. So respect. That's why I keep tuning in. But I guess I missed the fireworks earlier tonight.
Yeah. If you want, you can go back on the free Odyssey app and rewind. I forget the callers' names already. Their names weren't worthy of saying again, but I don't even know what time it was. I think it made for good radio. I think it made for, like, everybody can't give me flowers. Everybody can't call and tell me I'm the best. Everybody can't call and say they love my show. Like, somebody's got to try to be a detractor. I'm ready for that.
I jumped in just at who said don't go to the Garden on Saturday? Like,
oh, I don't know. That caller was, like, basically saying that Knicks fans have been terrible for so long, and now they're acting new. Now they're acting out. And like, you know, basically that they're still going to lose. And, like, don't get ahead of yourself. Don't even bother going to the Garden because you're going to lose that game, and you haven't won anything in all this time. And that's when I was like, what? What? What are we talking about? I had to let him go. I'm like, I don't get that energy. And he tried to, like, position it. I think the first thing he said, he was like, what if your wife was mad at you and not talking to you for like 3 weeks, and then she started talking? I'm like, 3 weeks is mad long. Like, if it changed like that, I'd be like, what did I accidentally do, or what's going on, or like, is there something up? Or, but yeah, it didn't. The call didn't land for me.
Well, I mean, I'd wish if I was, you know, single and I could move around like that, I would be there on Saturday. Shout out to Subway DJ on IG. He's the guy
who played Mo Bamba, and NYPD, they took his speaker rig.
Oh, wow. So yeah, they got to
sure
do
he's
that.
He's going to be back. Yeah, Subway DJ. He's the best.
Because that Mo Bamba incites riots. They got to take the speaker. Shout out to DJ Monopoly. Me and Dan go back years when I used to DJ. And I remember he's a Knicks fan. I remember him saying one day he's going to DJ at the Garden. He now DJs at the Garden and does the watch parties. He was out there last night. He's living the dream. Shout out to DJ Monopoly.
Two more quick things. I know you got to jump, but like Mike and the Mad Dog, Mike was mentioned, and George with a couple callers ago. I just was listening to the 1990 or 91 interview where they had Steinbrenner on, and man, he was at, because he was at his lowest power there. The 80s were not, even though he kept saying, well, the Yankees have won the most, and they're pushing back. The Mike and the Mad Dog were kind of, you know, they did not sugarcoat it. So I recommend people go on YouTube and look that up. It's an hour with George. Right before they started building, I did hear Stick Michael's name, but other people I didn't recognize. Last thing, it's crazy to me that Joe Mazzulla is now on the chopping block. Like, they had a Sporting News story.
Yeah, I saw
entirely.
That too. If they blow this series, could he get fired?
But that's all just people, like, the writer is quoting, like, fan tweets. Like, tell me about
he's wearing
media,
a championship ring. He's a champion from last year. They're already ready to say it. See, but that's what losing to the Knicks does to Boston. That's what losing to New York does to Boston. Thanks for the call, Mike. That's all the time we've got. Charles, stay on hold, and you'll be first up for Big Mac Show after he does his open. You guys stay tuned for Chris McMonagle. He's going to rock for 5 hours through the night. I probably can't fall asleep until 3:30, 4 in the morning, so I'll probably listen to Big Mac's whole show. He does a great job, too. I hope that you guys are a little nicer to him. I hope that you guys call and you treat him right. Or don't. Whatever, yo. We don't care. I'm out of here. I'll be back tomorrow for a quick, like, two-hour show after Loogie does his thing. You guys be good. You guys be safe. Thanks for listening to KM to AM on the Fan. Keep it locked right here. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
WFAN.